from his latest album, The Riptide. That was Beirut, the lead single off The Riptide called East Harlem. And Beirut is the Balkan Mexican folk inspired project by New Mexican Zach Corndon. And he's done a commendable job fusing various styles around the world into a bit of a Western Baroque indie. And The Riptide comes out through Condon's own label, Pompeii. And I believe there are still a few tickets left for Beirut's Tuesday, August 8th show at the Commodore Ballroom. At this point, I definitely know Wednesday's show, August 9th, is sold out since tickets went on sale. And in the background, we're listening to something from Beirut. This is from 2009's EP March of the Zapotec, and this is On a Bayonet. And depending on how far I talk, we might hear that consequent track as well. So good evening. This is Exploding Head Movies, live and direct to you. This is your cinematically inspired program broadcast here on UBC's well-rested and suntan community radio station, CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can find us on the web at www.citr.ca. And I'm Gak, and I'll be schlepping sweet audio julep until 9 p.m. You can call the station here at 604-822-2487. You can also email me, radiofreegak@gmail.com. So this week, it is a long overdue profile on the legendary composer Bernard Herrmann. We're going to listen to two of his scores, starting at the halfway point of the show, so like around 8:15 approximately. And we'll listen to On Dangerous Ground and some selections from North by Northwest. And we actually started off with Herrmann's version of Alfred Newman's famous 20th Century Fox fanfare. And you can find that on his 1951 score to the original version of The Day the Earth Stood Still, which was Herrmann's first score after moving to Hollywood from New York. Now, it's been a couple weeks since you heard from me while I was here in front of the microphone that I'm pointing at that you can't see. But there have been a couple lives recently that we have to commemorate, and we're going to start off with the tragic passing of one Amy Jade Winehouse, who died due to yet unknown causes July 23rd at the tender age of 27. And Winehouse grew up in North London in a Russian Jewish house, where her cabbie father sang her Sinatra songs as she grew up. She went to music school at age 9, picked up the guitar when she was 13, and she was signed to a talent management agency at the age of 19. And we'll start off with a couple knockout numbers before going deeper into her catalog, and we'll start off with a guest appearance on a cover song. And Mark Ronson, a British guitarist and DJ who works with a sharp retro production sound, in 2007, he released an album called Version, just full of cover songs. And the original version of this was written in 2006 by the Zootons, but it is very stiff-sounding, very proper English indie. But on Version, they definitely add a little something to this, and it's upgraded tremendously. So here is Mark Ronson, along with Amy Winehouse on vocals. And you know this as Valerie.
Hi, it's Rolling.
I'm sorry, Charlie Murphy. I was having too much fun.
Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think of all the things, what you're doing, and in my head I want to come on over and stop making
there's still time to submit to CITR's Shindig 2011. Shindig is CITR's annual Battle of the Bands competition. All styles are welcome, whether you're a solo country crooner or a 10-piece punk philharmonic. Past participants include The Organ, 3 Inches of Blood, Japan Droids, and They Shoot Horses, Don't They? To enter, send a minimum 3-song demo of original material and your contact information to shindig.submissions@gmail.com by August 12th. Or, do it the old-fashioned way and put everything in an envelope directed to Shindig 2011, care of CITR Radio, 233-6138 Sub Boulevard, Vancouver, BC, V6T1Z1. Learn more at CITR.ca. Don't be shy. Submit for Shindig 2011.
If there's no other sign that autumn is on its way, then yes, it is Shindig time coming up soon in September, so please get those submissions in. Before all that, we heard from the same album as her breakout song Rehab and Love is a Losing Game. That was Amy Winehouse with You Know I'm No Good. That album is 2006's Back to Black. And musically, part of Winehouse's appeal comes from her contralto voice, which is the deepest range that a woman can normally have. But there's a sense of a nasal brash that's partly bratty there. And prior to Back to Black, her visual looks were pared back, so there was no beehive weave, no Egyptian eyeliner, no arm tattoos. It's hard to say how much of a notorious alcohol and drug abuse existed at that time, around like 2003 or so. But, of course, it only became highly publicized as international fame took and as the addiction kicked in. But nevertheless, there was a time when the rush of a new talent having its potential taking off was high, and none so much as with her 2003 debut, which is 2003's Frank. So from that album, here's Amy Winehouse with Take the Box.
Your neighbors were screaming, downstairs, so I punched on the buzzers, hoping it wouldn't be there. And now my head's hurting. You say I always get my own way, but you were.
Yeah. lately. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight, the light of love is in your eyes.
From the 2004 soundtrack to the Bridget Jones sequel, The Edge of Reason, there was Amy Winehouse with her take of the Shirelles' 1960 hit, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And Winehouse had attempted to perform at a show in Belgrade, Serbia, in mid-June, which was stopped due to her intoxicated state. And, of course, there's like YouTube footage of how bad it was and how the crowd was reacting. Planned tour as a result of that was scrapped, and she was given time to go home and clean herself up again. But on July 23rd, she was found dead in her Camden home. No cause of death has been identified yet, but she's already been cremated and buried at this point, as per Judaic rites. And Amy Winehouse was 27. You're listening to Exploding Head Movies here on CITR Vancouver. And another unfortunate recent passing was Mr. Eugene McDaniels, a singer-songwriter originally from Omaha, Nebraska. And McDaniels originally was an R&B gospel singer working with a shortened name of Gene McDaniels. He had several hits in the early 60s. Very much of its time, things like Tower of Strength and 100 Pounds of Clay, a little bit of like late doo-wop there. But over time, his own songwriter improved, and by the late 60s, along with the rise of black consciousness, McDaniels reclaimed his feral first name, Eugene, and became a far funkier, though psychedelic craftsman specializing in protest songs. So what we're going to do is we're going to kick off with a take off his most famous song, and it was originally written for a young Roberta Flack in 1969, for whom McDaniels wrote several other songs, including 1974's Feel Like Makin' Love. But it was also highly popularized by friends and jazz combo pianist Les McMahon and tenor saxophonist Eddie Harris. But let's listen to a bit of a different take. And this is Della Reese, who we know from that TV series Touched by an Angel. But her roots are in gospel. So here's her take of Eugene McDaniel's Vietnam War protest song, Compared to What?
A lot, I got a lot of love, but I'm hanging on with a push and a shove. Possession is the motivation that's hanging up this entire nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut, trying to make it real, but compared to what? But compared to what? Slaughterhouse is killing hogs. Twisted children taking legs off of frogs. Old dumb rednecks out there rolling logs. Tired old ladies at home kissing dogs. I hate that kind of love. But compared to what? Trying to make it real, y'all. But compared to what? The president, he's got his war. You and me, we don't know what the war is for. Nobody gives us rhyme or reason.
I know I'm doing something wrong. The green and black elevators bringing me down to the basement on the 13th floor.
Long as I have my clams, I don't give a damn about revolution. Long as I have my rice, I don't have to think twice about a solution. Protrusion. In the twilight
of my mind, I know I'm doing something wrong. The green and black elevators bringing me down to the basement on the 13th floor. Long as I have my clams, I don't give a damn about my direction. My mind, I know I'm doing something wrong. The green and black elevators bringing me down to the basement on the 13th floor.
Beautiful country. You know, I rode out here about 50 years ago on a little dun horse and started a film career. Picture called The Big Trail. Well, I made quite a few since then. Some good, some bad. Matter of fact, in those days,
CITR!
Matter of fact, they come in pretty handy anytime. It's kind of nice to know you have something set aside. So if you ever figure them, remember that
CITR
can be mighty helpful.
Yeehaw!
So it was great when John Wayne's voice breaks like that. Just to show you that vocal cords can sometimes do little weird things. We started off with Compared to What, and that was Della Reese there singing Eugene McDaniel's song. And based on that time arrangement, we had to look that up, and that was helped out by Mr. Bobby Bryant, the trumpeter who led a little quintet in the 60s. And then off his 1970 album, that was Eugene McDaniels himself, too, with Cherry Stones and the album Outlaw. And based on the strength of Compared to What, McDaniels was able to have a second chapter in his music career. Though his label Atlantic felt pressure from the Nixon administration about his lyrical content, and they managed to actually somehow force him to be dropped from Atlantic, especially after his follow-up album, 1971's Headless Heroes of the Apocalypse. And at some point, he actually lived in Sweden, I believe, as well, too. But before we jump into a cut off of Headless Heroes of the Apocalypse, and featuring a song sampled by the Beastie Boys, let's listen to another cut off Outlaw that shows a bit more of a folkier edge here. You're listening to Exploding Head Movies, and yes, here is Eugene McDaniels with Black Boy.
Black boy, westbound, searching through the years to share, gaze at the top. Children,
cry for love. Pain in your chest, damn all the rest, you don't.
And the Arabs, Semitic pawns in the master game. The player who controls the board sees them all as the same. Basically, cannon fodder. Left wing and right wing, political pawns in the master game. The player who controls the board sees them all as the same. Basically, cannon fodder. Nobody knows who the enemy is, 'cause he never goes in hiding. He's slitting our throats right in front of our eyes, while we pull the casket he's riding. Better get it together, better get it together, and see what's happening to you and you and you. Master game. The player who controls the board sees them all as the same. Basically, cannon fodder. Industry and war machines, these are the kings in the master game. The player who controls the board and the kings are the same. We are the cannon fodder. Better get it together and see what's happening to you and you and you.
Get it together and see what's happening. That was Eugene McDaniels with Headless Heroes off his 1971 album, Headless Heroes of the Apocalypse. And McDaniels songs, particularly that off that initially contentious album, have been sampled extensively through hip-hop, such as the Beastie Boys, Tribe Called Quest, and Pete Rock. McDaniels mostly faded from view after being dropped from Atlantic, though he helped provide vocals for a few tracks off Richard Pryor's remake of The Mac in 1982 or 83. He wound up as a self-professed hermit in the state of Maine, though he had been using YouTube as of late to connect with his fans, and he also provided some voice-over work for various video games. But McDaniels passed away peacefully July 29th at the age of 76. It is 10 after 8 here in the Pacific. You're listening to Exploding Head Movies on CITR 101.9 FM. We're going to hop over to Herman shortly, but first, let's have at least a little bit of good news here regarding a previously anonymous song. Penny and the Quarters were a lost soul band that had a demo song recorded at the Harmonix Studio in Columbus, Ohio in the early 70s, which was then re-released as when the Numero Group label purchased a whole bunch of the pre-label stuff, and it was released as Eccentric Soul, the pre-label. Actor Ryan Gosling heard this song and lobbied to have it included in the 2010 film that he starred in, which was Blue Valentine, and it raised the profile of the song extensively. Initially, the pre-label compilation was sort of selling rather poorly, even for the Numero Group, but once the song was heard, everyone wanted to pick it up. And at that point, it expanded on the mystery of who Penny and the Quarters were, because nothing was really documented, since it was just basically found in a little box in the studios as they were sweeping through there. It wasn't until a recent chance encounter between the singer's daughter and an Italian record collector explaining the story about Penny and the Quarters that it turned out that all the dots connected, and Penny was actually the nickname of Nanny Sharp, and the Quarters were her brothers, Preston, Johnny, and Donald Coulter. And they recorded that as teenagers in 1970. Originally, it was just a demo that they hoped to become a single. At this point, though, this year, Numero Group actually pressed that demo into the 7-inch, so that demo is the single now. So, you may find this on the Blue Valentine soundtrack, but at the same time, you can also find it on 7-inch. So here's Penny and the Quarters with You and Me.
On Fridays from 1 till 2 p.m., prepare to get your jeans dirty. Join me, Bobby the Badger Ferris, for the greasier side of rock and roll, rhythm and blues, and country.
old rotation, babe. Well, let's see how she sounds.
From Hank to the Helicopters, from Otis to the Oblivions, it's the perfect way to slither into your weekend.
We won't talk about the habits, just the music and the man.
That's The Barn Burner every Friday from 1 till 2 p.m. only on CITR 101.9.
Finnish conductor Esa-Pekka Salonen, along with the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra, with the prelude to 1956's The Man Who Knew Too Much. And you can find that on the comprehensive compilation called Bernard Herrmann Film Scores. It touches upon the esteemed composer's career. And that starts Exploding Head Movie's first profile on Mr. Herrmann, known to his friends as Benny. But Bernard Herrmann was born 100 years ago in New York to a Russian Jewish family. Similar to Amy Winehouse's story there. And the similarities continue since Benny's father encouraged him to pick up music by learning the violin and attending operas. He won a compositional prize at the age of 13. He managed to parlay that into getting into the Juilliard School. But from there, he started working and eventually conducting for the CBS Radio Symphony Orchestra by the age of 20. And it was at CBS that Herrmann met Orson Welles. And they helped with the infamous 1938 broadcast of The War of the Worlds. And Herrmann also then scored Welles' first two films, Citizen Kane and The Magnificent Ambersons. Now, I have a lot of Herrmann scores at home, but at this point, aside from being overwhelmed completely, I decided to focus on two of his scores. Not necessarily his famous works, but what we'll do is we'll start off with his score to the 1952 film On Dangerous Ground, which is a film noir directed by Nicholas Ray. We're listening to, what is this, Snowstorm and the Silence in the background here. And this score was re-released through Film Score Monthly, the magazine, in 2003. But due to the condition of the original recording, they could only clear up some of the surface noise, so the fidelity that you're going to hear here isn't totally crystal clear. And what we're going to do is start off with a short cue called Violence. And before we get on to the prelude to On Dangerous Ground. So this is Bernard Herrmann here on Exploding Head Movies, CITR, Vancouver.
Thank you. capable of marking all the parts of the sound I want. That air piano, but you have to come in fortissimo. A, please. Trombones, a bar after A. Have you got double forzato? Oh, but the decrescendo takes place during the bar, not on the first note. Bar! A, please. Above, I'm sorry, A. A. A.
Orchestra that featured a piccolo, a bass clarinet, two bassoons, a contrabassoon, and a bell plate, amongst everything else. We heard selections from Bernard Herrmann's score to the 1952 film On Dangerous Ground. So we started off with Violence, then we heard The Prelude. There was a quiet stretch there called, appropriately, Nocturne. And then we heard the romantic theme, Blindness. We then heard Bernard Herrmann himself talking with the orchestra in various outtakes from the soundtrack before it led off with the finale there, the blistering chase music of what was the Death Hunt. So again, the quality of the remaster was dependent upon source tapes, which had extensive damage to them based on how they're restored, but the energy of Herrmann's score from that still shines through. You're listening to Exploding Head Movies here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Stick around. We'll take a look at one of the scores that Herrmann did for Mr. Alfred Hitchcock next.
CITR 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine present Teen Days. We Are the City, Oh No Yoko, 41st and Home, Kingdom Cloud, State of Bliss. Six bands, one beautiful summer's day. It's the inaugural Where the Four Songs Are Festival, starting at 3 p.m. on August 13th at Island 22 in Chilliwack. Advance tickets available at wherethefoursongsare.eventbrite.com. Try searching Where the Four Songs Are on Facebook. Where the Four Songs Are, August 13th at Island 22 in Chilliwack.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
From the second soundtrack of Bernard Herrmann's that we'll profile tonight here on Exploding Head Movies, that was Benny Herrmann with The Return from the 1959 film North by Northwest. Starred Cary Grant as yet another Hitchcock trope, an innocent man mistaken for a spy. That acts as a prelude of sorts to the first Bond film in its constant chase sequences across many cities. North by Northwest was directed by Alfred Hitchcock during his prime years, and Hitchcock had known Herrmann in passing before they worked together for the first time on 1955's comedy The Trouble with Harry. Personality-wise, both director and composer were cut from the same cloth. They were demanding perfectionists that would do anything to match their vision. Herrmann was notorious amongst orchestra players on ensuring proper performances and tuning, and often exacted some editing control at the film level as well. For Psycho, as an example, he overruled Hitchcock's request for a jazz score, and then he actually came up with the infamous sting for the shower scene for what was originally going to be a non-musical sequence. So I'm going to pop up shortly with some more info, but let's start off with the overture to North by Northwest. Thank you. Thicket of short cues there. It was a quite common practice before the 60s. We started off with the overture to North by Northwest, then I can't even describe what we heard, but there was The Streets, The Wild Ride, the UN, and then we just heard The Knife. In the background, this is The Crash. North by Northwest maintains a nervous suspense throughout all these cues, which is admittedly rather monothematic, almost a bit behind a Morse code rhythm underneath growling horns. Herman had actually written a cue for the famous crop duster scene, but it was later dropped, and Hitchcock opted for more natural sounds during that sequence in North by Northwest. So, let's listen to another batch of cues here, and we're going to start off with the airport. You're listening to Exploding Head Movies here. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, www.citr.ca on the web, and on Shaw Cable, 88.5 in glorious stereo.
Thank you.
We started off with that set with the airport, then the shooting, the forest, and then we just heard the airplane in the background. A tribute, of course, to Mount Rushmore. This is the Stone Faces. And these all come from the complete score to North by Northwest, as composed by Bernard Herrmann. And the selection that we just heard comes from a Varese Saraband re-release of a 1995 Rhino pressing, and it features the Slovak National Symphony Orchestra. And somehow it was only just a limited release of 3,000 copies. In total, Hitchcock and Herrmann worked together on 8 films and a TV series together, and it included Vertigo and Psycho. However, their friendship fell apart during the scoring of 1966's Torn Curtain, whereby Hitchcock fired Herrmann for attempting to record music for what would be an ambient scene, but there's also some studio pressure as well, too. So after 10 years together, their friendship collapsed, and they only spoke once before Herrmann's death on Christmas Eve, 1975, just after Herrmann completed his work for Marty Scorsese's Taxi Driver. And at some point, we'll definitely look at more of Bernard Herrmann's score here, but that is going to be it for Exploding Head Movies this week. Coming up in just over 5 minutes, it will be 9 p.m. and The Jazz Show with Kevin Walker, and he'll guide you to midnight. And at that point, Canada Post Rock will close our broadcasting day around 1 a.m. If you missed any of this week's episode, just grab the podcast via CITR's website, which is www.citr.ca. Of course, it'll take me a little bit of time to upload it, but by day's end, it should be there. You can also search iTunes for Exploding Head Movies. You can also look for the rest of CITR's fine programming that way. There's also a Facebook page, and it has random stuff all the time on it. Just look up Exploding Head Movies, and that will guide you. Next week, Last Gang Records has pitched in for a little bit of a giveaway. So I got some CDs and DVDs, a bit of swag for the recent Canadian film Daydream Nation. But let's close off with another act that's coming into town, and that'll be Deadmau5. That swashbuckling DJ, better known to his family as Joel Zimmerman from Niagara Falls. He's at his second show after selling out his first show in a short amount of time. So tickets should still be available for Thursday, August 11th at the PNE Forum, because Friday's show is sold out. So from his latest album, 4x4 equals 12, named after some bad math he posted onto Ustream, here's Deadmau5, joined by Greta Svabo Beck. There she is. She's from Picture Book. And this is Raise Your Weapons. So, Vancouver, take care of yourselves. We'll see you in a week's time. Enjoy. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Raise your weapon. One word, and it's over. Ripping through like a missile. Ripping through my heart. Rob me of this love. Thank you.
ripping through my heart. Rob me of this love. Raise your weapon. Raise your weapon. And it's over. How does it feel now to watch it burn?
You are listening to CIT.